looking at basic doctrines. So far this we've looked at repentance.
Yes.
Did I mute my mic accidentally? I might have. It's showing orange.
Yep, so just have it on.
There we are.
There you go. Orange is
okay. This morning, as I said, it's something that you probably everybody knows or has done, but maybe you don't understand some things about it. And that is baptism. This morning we're going to talk about baptism. And you say, why is that important? Because there's different groups of people, as we'll look at, that have false understanding of what baptism is, what it does. Is it necessary to get baptized to be saved? And they also, every time they hear the word baptism, they think water. Okay, so many people read their Bible, they see the word baptism, and they think about water, whether it's sprinkling with some churches, whether it's pouring in another church, or whether it's forward submersion or backward submersion, and just exactly what does it do and what is it for? So we've had somebody ask a question of somebody, and I got called on this. Pastor, what do I tell someone about this? I just had a call yesterday on it. And it just happened to fall into line with what the lesson was this morning and stuff. And we're going to look at, and what is the meaning of baptism? Okay. What is the meaning of baptism? First, literally, baptism, the word is an English translation or alliteration from the Greek word baptisma, which means to put into completely, to immerse, okay? So you need to understand that, because sometimes people, when they see the word baptism, they fail to remember that we are told, let me see here if I got the right place, because this is not in my notes, that we are baptized into one body by one spirit. So that means there is such a thing as spirit baptism. That doctrine gets messed up, because certain groups will teach, have you received the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost? And what they're referring to is, have you spoken in tongues? Which generally, they are most of the time, or almost all the time, are not real tongues. Okay, so they think initial baptism of the Holy Spirit. The moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were put into the body of Christ, amen? And the Holy Spirit was put into you. So either you're all in or you're not saved. And so if someone asks you, have you ever received the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know what you tell them? Yes, I have. And they go, oh, I'm so happy. And they're thinking they got a special gift, and you have that, you share that same special gift with them, and it has nothing to do with that. We are baptized by one spirit into one body. And I thought I had it. Yes, I'm looking right at it and didn't pay attention to it. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many, so are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So if someone ever asked you, have you been baptized, and you haven't been baptized in water, you can say, I got the one that's important. The one that's necessary for heaven, right? Okay, and so then And it teaches that very clearly. Didn't I just read the verse again? I thought I had it and looked down and didn't see it. It's that going to be that kind of morning. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. It's baptized by one spirit into one body. What is water baptism? It's fulfilling a command of God. Let's start with that right off the bat. How many of you know where the Great Commission is? Okay. Russ, would you read Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 for me? Yes.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Now who's that speaking there? Jesus. And he commands them to be baptized. In what? In the name of the Son. Because I say, why is this? Because people, they'll mess up doctrine. Another question I had from somebody who was not part of this church or whatever, it got sent to them and they asked me, and they said, they told me my baptism wasn't any good because I wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus. What did the command just say here to do? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's another place that it says you baptized in the name of Jesus. So you know what we do? We separate things, and so we take one thing, and because it doesn't say everything right in every place, you ever talk about something and you give part of the information, okay, or that supports it, but you didn't give everything you knew about that or every place that's mentioned? People strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. It's a command of God. So what is baptism? It's being obedient to who? Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We looked at this verse when we were looking at the gospel, because the gospel is, for the age of grace, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the payment for our sin, and the victory over death that we have through him. Now, are we ready? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So you know what water baptism is? It's a picture of the gospel. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And then this church, everybody says, amen. Amen. Okay, so it's a step, the first step of obedience. If you've been saved any length of time and you have not been baptized, you are out of the will of God. I don't mean to be mean to you. If someone hasn't shown you that and they're a pastor, they're out of the will of God. It's the first act of obedience, because you know what also it is? Turn to Romans chapter 6. Baptism, water baptism, is the command of God, of Jesus Christ, to the church, to the believers. It's a picture of the gospel. Romans chapter 6, you ready? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were what? Baptized into? That's where they say you got to get baptized in the name of Jesus. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even so we also should walk in what? For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You know what it shows? It's an open identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's going from life to death to new life. Is that clear? If your children are very young and they make a profession of faith at 4, 5, 6, or 7, don't push them for baptism. If they push and you can talk to them about it, then that's one thing. And then we'll try to evaluate, do they have the understanding? Because we've seen kids who got baptized and then they got re-baptized. Because they really didn't, they weren't saved. They just knew they were supposed to do it because what? Other people were doing it. And if you're saved, you need to get baptized. And parents will tell their children, and as a church, we do not believe in 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Amen? Amen? If a child's not old enough to understand that repentance, he's not old enough to get saved. If he's not old enough to understand that his sin is against God, he's not old enough to get saved. Now, if he doesn't understand that, yet you know what? God protects him. It's her. If something happened to her, she's going to be her or him. They're going to be in heaven. Because even though they are sinners, they don't have the knowledge. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the Bible says, even though you're living physically, if you're not saved, you're dead in your trespasses in sins. Right? That's why John chapter 3 talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then it goes on to say, those that don't believe him are condemned how?
Already.
But God doesn't hold children to that. So the best thing you can do, you want to protect your child? Make sure they understand they're little sinners. That they need to be saved. Oh, little Johnny, he could never do it. He's my little angel. Except he's a fallen one. The Apostle Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. So he said, so we've had to rebaptize some kids. They had all the right answers, and then they turned around, they got 16, 17. Okay? Your youth pastor's wife marries one of them. Early profession was used of her to convict her older brother and sister that they weren't saved, and she wasn't saved herself. Never got over the fear of hell. Until she made sure. And then you know what happened? She was baptized again. Because baptism, water baptism, is an open identification that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I've given you the verses on it, Romans chapter 6. It's a public testimony. We encourage people when they get scripturally baptized to invite their unsaved friends and family to the service. Because you're telling them, when you get baptized, I don't identify with who I was before. I identify in my new life with the one that saved me. Okay? So, the meaning of baptism, it's fulfilling the command of Jesus Christ to the church and to the disciples. It's a picture of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it shows the believer's identification with Christ. And I state it again. If you've been saved any length of time and you have not been scripturally baptized, you're not in the will of God. If you want God to help you with your specific will to live for Him, you've got to fulfill the general will. So many times people get hung up on that. If you don't fulfill the general will of God, why should He go farther when you say, well, Lord, You commanded that, but I don't really want to do that right now, so help me with this area. You know, when someone's trained for a new job, a new way of doing things, they start with the general part before they get into specifics. Well, it's the same thing. Before God's going to help you with specific, very personal areas in your life, He wants you to fulfill the general will. How about this? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning only some of you? No, for this is the will of God concerning you. You got to be able to say thank you through the hard stuff and through the good stuff. Christian life would be great, wouldn't it, if it was all mountaintop? But you know, water baptism is you humbling yourself enough to say, I will be obedient to Him and follow Him and identifying with, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Does baptism make you a Christian? Spiritual baptism and accepting Christ, yes. Water baptism, and again, every time people hear the word baptism, they think of water. No. I got saved out of a church that taught that if you didn't want your child to go to a place called limbo, you know, then I realized limbo is a dance that I can't do anymore. I'm not going to try. I fall on my face. Back doesn't work. All right? They go to limbo. So you take them and they want them probably within the first couple weeks, at least the first month that child's alive, because if they don't pour water over them, they can't go to heaven. That's what the church taught. And the child can't make a choice. The child's not identifying with Christ. And they believe that is necessary for salvation. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but that's the teaching of Roman Catholicism. Okay? The Greek Orthodox Church, although they're not Catholic, has the same doctrine. And they try to baptize when they're young. If you convert when you're older, they will then either pour or sprinkle you. Okay? The United Church of Christ, many, 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 many believers in that, but they have the false teaching that you receive, you become part of the body of Christ when you are baptized in the water. Duck Dynasty. It's a very prevalent doctrine down south. When you get baptized, then you're saved. We were ministering to a man who had problems. He was in and out of jail. Ministered to him for quite a year. He turned his life around. Witnesses to his dad who lived up in Lyons, New York. His dad prays and asked Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. The guy was not very healthy, could no longer drive, but was within half a block of a United Methodist Church. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not putting any church down. I'm just telling you, what do they teach? And he went there, and the woman pastor talked him into getting baptized so that he could be saved. And on the baptismal certificate that they gave him, it says, having gone through the waters of baptism, I am now born again into the body of Christ. That's not what it used to teach in that church. But you know what happens? Religions are trying to come together. So they got to try to have the same type of doctrine. If you've never been scripturally baptized, but you have prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at the rapture, you're going up. If you die before you get baptized, you're still going to heaven. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Want to go to hell? Any other way will do. Okay? Do you realize that the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims, when they look at so-called Christendom, they believe that baptism makes you a Christian. Personal faith in Jesus Christ makes you a Christian. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, personally. That's why you can't get saved for someone else. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because I'm supposed to teach you. And you know what? We have to be careful that we don't put our arms around somebody and say they're brother or sister in Christ. I led my chiropractor's 80-year-old dad to the Lord. He was raised out in Utah. He was a member of the Mormon Church and early in his life. As a 12-year-old, he was taken to the temple in Salt Lake City, because that's what they call it, and he was baptized 80 times for the dead. Because they, in their doctrine, teach that you can't ascend if you're not baptized. And they don't want anybody to not be able to do that, so they'd have somebody get baptized for them by proxy. Chapter and verse. Amen. Not there. He knew that wasn't right. As he got older, he married a Southern Methodist. He became an elder in the Methodist Church. He didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. He's in a hospital. They don't think he's going to live. He lived 10 years after he got saved. When I preached his funeral, it was over to about 500 people up in Syracuse, because he said, "You're my pastor, the only one who ever told me the truth." I spent 4 hours with him when he was in a hospice house, because he came out of there, and showed him, starting from Genesis into the New Testament, who Jesus Christ is, God the Son. The only hope of heaven. The only payment. And he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Did he get baptized after that? No. Is he in heaven today? Yes. Because he got the spiritual baptism, baptized by one spirit into one body, but he never got the thing. But I want you to understand something. There's churches that teach there's a lot of false teaching on the doctrine of baptism. What do you believe and why do you believe it? What does God's Word say? Do I believe that all Catholics are going to hell? No. Some of them simply trusted in Jesus Christ by faith. They've never truly grown because they're not presented. Because, you know, as a Catholic, you're taught not to read the Bible. That's for the priests. But anybody who by simple faith acknowledges they're a sinner and then prays and trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their only hope of heaven, repentance towards God, faith towards Jesus Christ. Water baptism is something that's supposed to follow salvation. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. It's a testimony of one's faith in Christ alone. It does not save us, because it would then be that's a work that you would do, right? If you had to be water baptized to be saved, then that's what? It's works. Already? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Can you quote it with me? "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a gift. Okay, now, go to Mark chapter 16. How when you parse words, Sometimes you can get caught. If you don't know what parsing words is, look it up. Mark 16, you ready? Look at verse 15. Jesus is speaking after his ascent, just before he ascends, after the resurrection. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized is. So they use that as a proof text that you have to get baptized to be saved. Because they hear water every time they hear the word baptism. Look at the second half of the verse. But he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. Is that what it says? No, he that believeth not shall be damned. Because you're condemned already. Didn't say that because they weren't baptized. Look at the whole verse. Look at the context. Compare Scripture with Scripture talking about the same thing. Because guess what? Matthew portrays Jesus as the king. Mark portrays him as a servant. Luke portrays him as the Son of Man, his humanity. And John shows him as God the Son. It's a fourfold view. If you pull verses out of Luke and you don't compare with the same event in Matthew and Mark, because they're called the synoptic gospels, they are similar. John is separate from that. But there's some passages that you see the same event in John as you do in Luke, as you do in Mark, and do in Matthew. In Matthew, you'll see where it talks about three or four coming to him. In Mark, it deals with one man or two men specifically, separately. So what I'm telling you is don't pull a verse out of context and out of comparison Scripture with Scripture to build your doctrine. Is that okay? No. Compare them. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Go to Acts 2:38, because this is another famous verse that is used. You ready? Let's start at verse 36, and Peter's preaching here. And he says, let all the house of Israel. So what's the context? Who is Peter preaching to? Israel. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus which ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You should always look at the context of a verse, the passage that it's in, to get a greater understanding with that, because you have a historical application, you have the practical and inspirational application, and the doctrinal application. There's verses in the Old Testament that spoke specifically to the Jews that have prophetic meaning, right? That won't be fulfilled until Jesus comes. There's verses in the Old Testament that prophesy about his birth. There's verses that prophesy about his life. There's verses that prophesy about his death. And there's verses that prophesy about his second coming. You need to look at all of them, or you'll lose part of that, okay? So he's speaking to the Jews, and he says, now when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their heart, because salvation is a heart matter. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The nation of Israel has rejected their Savior. Peter's presenting it to them. And then he says, Peter says unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, what? In the name of who? For what? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm following a set of lessons and doing this, but I don't believe the guy wrote that. He has it completely. He's speaking because he talks about this in a certain way. Okay, so this is another one of the passages that says you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He's preaching to the Jews as a nation. They had rejected the Messiah. As a nation, they're supposed to receive the Messiah. And he tells them, for the remission of sins. Is that Pauline epistle?
No.
Did Paul teach remission or redemption? He's still dealing with the nation of Israel, with trying to get them to accept the Messiah.
That's right.
And he tells them, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission of sins. That's Old Testament doctrine. That's what happened when someone trusted Jesus Christ during the Gospels. Do you understand me? To remit something means to hold it back, but it's in store. It's there, but you don't have to pay for it. Redemption means to buy back. You don't just have your sins remitted in Jesus Christ, believer. You had yourself redeemed from those sins. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Right? You're redeemed. You are bought back from your sins. He's talking about the need of the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to acknowledge the one in the context that they crucified because they rejected him. And it says, for the remission of sins. Things that are different are not alike. Proper interpretation. Is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God the same? No. Is it spelled the same? No. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not a physical kingdom. We're told that. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven was promised to Israel. If you don't understand some of what I'm talking about, please ask Pastor Kenny. I'm getting too old. This was a pointing to the need of the Israelites, the Jews, to acknowledge Christ alone as their Messiah. Mark 16:15, it says, if you don't believe, you're damned. It doesn't say, if you're not baptized, you're damned. The precise wording of a passage is important. We are going to answer for every jot and tittle in the Word of God. That's why we make such a big thing out of our 1611 King James Bibles. Even the punctuation. Those who trust in Jesus Christ, they claim to believe in Jesus, but they refuse to get baptized. Are they real believers? I'm not saying they're ignorant of the need to be baptized. A lot of people don't know that. They haven't been taught. Someone leads them to the Lord, and they don't know. They don't go on and take time and then say, well, now you need to get scripturally baptized to openly identify in your flesh with what took place in your spirit by faith. They're not taught that, so they don't know. But once they do know, look at John 14. John 14. Verse 23. Okay, you all turn there? You ready? John 14 and verse 23. We all there together? Let's read it out loud together. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So if you love him, you're going to do what? We live in a day and age, got to remember, the relationship between Jesus Christ and the believer is the picture, spiritual picture, of the relationship between a husband and wife. The man is commanded to love his wife as Christ so loved the church. And the woman is commanded to be in what? Submission in everything to her husband. I didn't write it. Okay. Now you say, that means if he tells me I got to do sin, I'm, no, better to rather to obey God than man. All right? No one has the right to command you to sin. But you also need to remember what happened with Abraham. Who's the father of faith? And what did Sarah do when she was commanded? She put herself in God's hand. She went into a harem. She was waiting for the number to come around. I don't know how God was going to work that out. I know this. She submitted to her husband and God protected her. Okay? The wife doesn't answer for the husband's submission to God. He does. She's not accountable for that. She's accountable to God. The man does answer to God for those he has authority over. And one of them is his wife. There's a problem in the home, I always go at the man first. Because generally that's where it is. Because if he loves a woman right, she'll want to run through walls for him. If he treats her as God teaches, likewise ye husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, honoring the wife. You know, the problem is women don't feel honored. They feel used, abused, and possessed. They're a possession. That ought not to be. It's not in the lesson about baptism, but it's something that you need to understand. Because you know what? I don't answer for your marriage. You do. And it's supposed to be a picture of that relationship. Water baptism is a picture of identifying with Jesus Christ. Okay? The same way that when someone gets married, what is the general accepted practice? Whose name does she take? You understand what I'm saying to you? Practical application of it. Turn to Luke chapter 5. In Luke 2:38, doesn't get baptized in order to be forgiven of his sins. He gets baptized because he has been forgiven of the sins. Luke 5, let me see here, in verse 13, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, that's Jesus, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. You say, why am I mentioning that? Because he was made clean. He follows him. Now, he identified Jesus as the Messiah. If you read to continue in the text, the point I want you to understand is water baptism is an open identification with the one who already made you what? Clean. What saves a person? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've explained what that means. That's repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that saves. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto
salvation.
To who? Turn there. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Parents raising a child. Child is born of them or adopted into their family. They belong to those parents. They are your children. You identify them as your own. They identify as yours. They have the last name. You're trying to teach them to do right. So when they do wrong, you discipline them, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. You train them up. You should do it according to what God's word tells you. I'm not teaching on that this morning. Have you ever had them disobey you? They stop being your child? They're still yours, aren't they? Did they ever disappoint you as they got older? If it hasn't happened, parents, it will. Because you know something? At one point, you were a disappointment to your parent in something. Did you stop being their child? You know what's interesting about this, and it's not in the notes, is that you're doubly God's child. Do you know that? You were born physically, and then you were born again spiritually. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then we're told in the book of Romans that not only are you born again, but you are God's child by what? Adoption. You've been his twice. He's protecting you. So it's not just a natural physical birth, it's also a spiritual birth. And then it's a legal birth. We have some people in this church, they weren't born into the family they're in, but they were adopted. Are they still every part of that family like a child born? Yes. You are doubly his. You've been born again, and then you've been adopted, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You're his. They've changed the laws now. I'm not sure how it works because I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. I don't pretend to be one. I am a keeper of odd knowledge. I am a kook. All right? But it used to be you could disinherit a child born into your family. Right? You could. You've gone so much against what the family name stands for, we're cutting you off. You are no longer part of this family, legally. Do you know what kids after 16 can do? They can emancipate themselves and say they're no longer part of that family. It used to be the laws, when you adopted that child, they legally became yours. Under the law, you could not then disinherit them and put them out of your family. I don't know if that's the way it is now, but that's the way it used to be. And I say that because next week we're going to do a lesson on eternal security. You are doubly His. What does water baptism do? Teach you that you are to identify with your family, with your Heavenly Father, and with your groom. That's the only time men are feminine. You're part of the bride, brother. Don't mess that up with what they do today, please. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Okay? He's preaching the gospel to get people saved. He'd leave it to the other ones to baptize them. For sake of time, we won't turn there, but like I said, the word baptism means to immerse, to put into. Okay? Baptisma is the Greek word. Jesus was baptized this manner. You find in Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, it says he came up out of the water. That didn't mean he walked to the shore. He went down into the water, he came up out of the water. Same picture. That's a practice of immersion. That's why we fully immerse them. We don't sprinkle them as a Christian religion denomination does. We don't pour it over them as another group does. We bury them. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We already looked at that verse. You know how foolish it would be? You see, you turn somebody, you're going to bury them, right? Okay. In India, I drove by piles on the long side of the road going to preach the gospel to people, right, Steve? And there'd be a funeral pyre, P-Y-R-E, where they're burning the body on the shoulder of the road. That's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Burial is a Christian thing. It's a Jewish thing. Okay? They turn around. Can you imagine if they were going to bury me, but they had me propped up in the grave? You can't go 6 feet under unless you want it to be like a horror story and my head sticking up out of the ground. You're going to pour dirt on me? Are you going to sprinkle dirt on me? No. I got to be buried. It's a picture of that. You know, it's one of the promises we have for those who've died in Christ. At some point, their body's coming up. Amen? Mode of baptism is by immersion. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Used to be in the early churches, you could go to a church in Ephesus, not the Catholic Church, but another, and there'd be a big baptistry. Guess what? It was always a big thing with water up at least to your waist. You know why? Because you got to put them how? Under. Same thing happened in Rome. So the mode of baptism is by immersion. And who has the authority to baptize? Who has the authority? One, it's commanded to the believers. It was given to the church. So you can get baptized in a church. Secondly, it was commanded, and you saw it done in the scriptures, by a preacher, someone called to the ministry. Who baptized the Ethiopian eunuch? The guy who rode with him in the chariot alongside who didn't believe? No. It was a preacher. It ought to be done that way. It doesn't have to be done in the Baptist tank. It can be done in a swimming pool. It can be done at the beach. When I baptized Ron and Dawn Statton at Fairhaven Beach State Park, we had to go way out in the water. The wind was coming. The waves were going hard at us. Howard's helping me. We're trying to walk them out. And the waves, I think, took Dawn off her feet. So we didn't say, oh, well, you get under the water. The wave hit you. You're all done. No, we walked out in the water, and I'm yelling, Dawn, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because the church was at the beach. They weren't all in the water. And a bunch of people in their bathing suits walking by watched us. And they all stopped and waited. And we baptized her, death, burial, and resurrection. We baptized Ron. Then we came in, and we had a church service on the beach. And some of the people who watched it stayed to hear the gospel. I don't know if they ever accepted Christ. But it was an open testimony. And it was done in the nearest body of water you can do it in. But it's generally done by someone who's called of God to the ministry. Doesn't mean it has to be. But an unbeliever can't baptize a believer, and if they did, they were doing it because they think there's some magic to it, and there is none. It's following the command of God. It's openly identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, with identifying with Him, and it's by immersion. Not to save you, but because you are saved. All God's people said,
amen.
Take a break.